Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 234. I'm your host, Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by Spencer Rain.
Hello, Tim Shelton.
And Gus Harden.
Hello, sorry, I was writing my games I played in the notes.
So we were supposed to we're recording a little bit earlier. Well, two reasons. We're recording a couple days early because of the Super Bowl. I guess it's only a day early, but also a couple.
Which is a holiday in the U.S.
Yeah.
Our Monday after listeners. Should be a holiday.
Yeah, it really should be. And then we're also recording 30 minutes earlier than when we told Gus we were going to record. So Gus's computer was doing a Windows update that he thought would be done. And it is spinning in the background. We can see it
2 o'clock
because he has to use a different computer because we're on a tight time schedule. So That's funny. Also, Windows updates literally take forever, especially if you don't have an SSD, which I don't know how old that computer is. Anyway, so this was Hogwarts Legacy week. The reviews Spencer and I predicted were 86 by me and 85 by Spencer. And depending on if you look at OpenCritic or Metacritic, I think we were both pretty close. I think it's an 86 on OpenCritic, and I think it's actually 89. Well, it depends on the platform, too, because I think on PlayStation, it's like an 89 on Metacritic, and it's an 85 on Xbox. Needless to say,
it's higher on Xbox than it is on PlayStation.
Okay.
And I think the only reason for that is there's like 50 critic reviews that say they're PlayStation 5 and only like 10 that say they're Xbox Series X or S for some reason.
I wonder if there's a bunch more that are Xbox One.
What's weird is the couple of the big shots like Game Informer and GameSpot, when I looked on Friday, had not posted anything yet. I think Game Informer posted a review in progress, or maybe I'm thinking of Eurogamer. Those three though, Eurogamer, Game Informer, and GameSpot, like arguably the biggest three other than IGN, had not posted reviews yet for some reason.
Well, some people turned away review codes because of the
But they would. J.K. Rowling. There's stuff. No way those three would. Maybe Eurogamer, but the other ones, no way they'd do that.
Did you hear there was one website that gave it a 1 out of 10?
Yeah, Wired gave it a 1 out of 10.
They're getting blasted because I mean, a 1 out of 10, that's a bad game.
There's no way it's not a 1 out of 10.
Well, yeah, I read it's definitely like, not a 1 out of 10.
Their pros and cons list. Some of the cons made no sense. Like they said that the graphics look two generations behind. Are you're kidding me? You think this looks like an Xbox 360 game?
It looks better than
stoned to think that.
Yeah, it looks better than Gotham Knights, Midnight Suns, several games that came out recently.
Yeah, it looks really good.
So I just wanted to finish that from last week. And actually, that segues nicely. Spencer, I know you were the most interested. So let's start with you on what you've been playing.
Yeah, so I did buy Hogwarts Legacy on release day. I didn't pre-order it or get the deluxe edition for early access or anything like that. I didn't have time to play it just because on release day, because I was finishing a Lego set and we were finishing season 5 of The Crown. We had like 4 episodes left. So we just powered through that last night. And then went to bed. And then this morning I had some errands to run, some things to do. So I didn't get to it until earlier this afternoon. I literally created my character and then watched the first like 2 minutes of the opening cutscene with your character in it. And that's all I've done. And I was telling Tim before we started recording that, as is always the case, I feel like in the cutscene, your character looks exponentially worse than it does in the character creation screen. And I don't understand like why that's a thing. And like every game that ever comes out, it's like, oh, in the character menu, your character looks incredible. You look like a freaking model. You look like you could be on the next Vogue, model, cover model or something. But then when you actually get in the game, you look completely different. I don't know if it's the lighting changes or what, but needless to say, I kind of want to restart and remake my character because of how bad it looks. But I will say, character creator, it's just your head. Like, it's not like Saints Row where it's your full body. But a ton of hairstyles, a ton of eyebrow styles, face shapes, eye colors. It doesn't get in super detail beyond that, but it's a pretty solid. Like I was very pleased with the character creator for this. You can obviously like was shown off kind of in before release. You can change your pitch of your voice between, and there's like voice 1 or voice 2, a male sounding and a female sounding voice, and then you can change the pitch of that voice itself. And honestly, the only thing that I noticed that was kind of weird was the voice sounds really like metallic-y, I guess is a way to describe it. Like it almost sounds like, it sounds like somebody recorded their lines through a filter that made their voice then come out sounding like it. I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to describe, but it does sound a little strange. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only one experiencing that or I have a setting off or something, or if it's one particular voice. Cause obviously there's multiple iterations of the voices. I guess there's 4 or 5 pitch choices with each voice. So there's like 8 to 10 versions.
But I wonder if the pitch choices are just algorithmic, like they use a processor to like use the same
lines, but alter them. It could be, because the idea is like a lower versus higher pitched voice, female sounding or male sounding voice. And I chose the one in the middle. Like I just picked the female voice and then I picked the one in the middle. So like I didn't even change it. So I don't know. It's kind of weird. But yeah, it looks great. The 2 minutes of the cutscene that I watched, so like these character models for the other people, like the NPCs, look incredible. People talking, like it looks really good. It's just my character for whatever reason. I think part of the problem, another problem kind of I've noticed is video games, they've conquered hair. Like you think of like Red Dead Redemption 2, like we finally have good looking video game hair, but certain hair colors are still a little problematic, like blonde hair, white hair.
The lighter hair in a lot of games looks wrong the way the light interacts with it.
Yeah, it looks like yellow hair.
Or it glows unnaturally.
Yeah, so that's part of my problem. I feel like if I chose a different hair color, maybe it wouldn't look as silly, but it depends. I'm going to look up if I can change my appearance once I play the game or not. I think you can, so we'll just have to see. But yeah, so that I really want to play this game because it looks great. Got great reviews. Finally
a new recent RPG that's actually getting good reviews.
Yeah. But
hang on, step off this, I'll talk about Midnight Suns in a few minutes because that's one of the games I've been playing. But I want to say their character creator basically just lets you select your face as well. And there's only 6 face options, and then you can do hair, eyebrows, mustaches, all that kind of stuff. But once you get into the game, you can change all of it, which I appreciated. I do appreciate games that don't lock you in. Shout out to Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, where you're literally locked in. I have the same head in Destiny that I've carried forward from the launch of Destiny 1. And actually, yeah, just launch, because the pre-release demo stuff was reset. So yeah, and I carried that forward to Destiny 2, and I hate it. I have a brown EXO head. It's a robot brown head that makes no sense.
Yeah.
So shout out to games that let you redo your creative.
I think that is definitely more of a older games thing, locking you into your appearance. Like Fallout be a classic example, Elder Scrolls.
But not always. Like Saints Row 3 had going to the
Saints Row. Saints Row, okay, is an exception. But yeah, I would say, true. Like, I feel like a lot of games nowadays let you change your appearance, whereas maybe 10 years ago it wasn't as common. I think you can.
Okay, I cut you off.
Reading about that. No, that's okay. I'm gonna play this, even though I wanted to finish. I want to finish GoldenEye and High on Life, which I played. Those are the only other things I played this week. I'm like 2/3 of the way through the GoldenEye story. I think I have like 5 or 6 missions left, and then High on Life, I finished the 3rd bounty, so I have like what, 3 more? 6 total bounties.
I think there's 5 or 6. Yeah,
there's 6 total bounties through. You get. I don't know how many people there actually are that you. I think you kill like the dude who's the head of the cartel, so maybe there's 7 targets. I don't know.
It's funny, High on Life and Hi-Fi Rush both have the same structure where the game is centered around like 6 bosses. So like you're doing levels and different things, but like you're checking off the 6 bosses, which you're also doing in Hi-Fi Rush, which is common in lots of games like Mega Man and tons of other stuff. But
yeah,
I have another question about. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go ask your question.
Well, I was going to say, so have you guys heard, obviously, I know you've heard about the Hogwarts Legacy controversy and that it's tied to J.K. Rowling, and she has made some comments that people associate with transphobia. But that aside, whatever she said or didn't say, the people that are upset about it, some of them have taken to going to social media and subreddits and forums where people are talking about the game and then just spoiling the ending.
Yeah,
for
I saw
everyone.
Some of that. I did see some of that this week.
And
not the spoilers, but I saw that people were doing that.
Yeah. And so whether or not you agree with something with somebody in a game, you can or cannot buy it. But I mean, let's say, you know, let's take it to the extreme. Let's say that a game came out that was associated with the IP of someone that was a child murderer, a convicted child murderer. And so
killed 30 children.
Some people buy the game because there's a lot of people that worked on the game that aren't the child murderer and they want the game, right? Maybe it's a game with a huge IP they want to play, like Star Wars.
Yeah, George Lucas just blew up a bus full of children.
Yeah. So a bunch of people buy that game. So then a bunch of people that obviously don't want to support or put any money into the pockets of a baby murderer are mad. And so they don't buy the game. But where it becomes a little dicey is when you start ruining the experience for people that did buy the game, because the people that bought the game aren't evil because they wanted to play the game. A lot of people worked on Hogwarts Legacy that aren't J.K. Rowling.
Tim, actually, I am a transphobe because I bought this game.
No. I don't believe that you are. Even if you are, it's like I respect people's rights to not buy a game because they don't want to support J.K. Rowling. That is totally fine. But ruining the experience for someone else who has done nothing wrong is just mean. So let's not be mean. Everybody be nice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not interested in the game, so yeah, I'm not buying it.
Stop
but
being mean.
Like, it does look like a genuinely good game. There are hundreds of people that worked on that game that their hard work should be rewarded, not or acknowledged if you enjoy the game. Not anyway. So that controversy to me, controversy is
all of it is so stupid. It's all so stupid.
The controversy I'm putting aside, where people are taking it to like ruin stuff for other people, that they become what they hate. They're now attacking people the same way that they accuse J.K. Rowling's of.
Yeah, I suppose.
Anyway, GoldenEye, do you have any other things or should...
No, so it's... I installed Hot Wheels and all like 53 DLC packs for that. I'm not kidding. There literally are like 52 or 53 like DLC items to download. Individual cars, a lot of them. I really want to play that game. Like, it looks super cool. I saw some screenshots of it and like the menu where you can pick your cars and all that. And I'm like, man, I really want to play this game.
I need to go back to it. But I'm gonna install it right now.
I'm holding off until I finish GoldenEye at least before I start another game, because I have so many games right now that are partially complete and it's driving me crazy. But I just have such little time.
It's so funny because you're like, oh no, I have four games that are partially complete. And I'm like, I'm over here like keeping lists of like 30, 40 games. I'm installing it to my Series X right now from my phone.
Because yeah, that's all I really played
the campaign, but I haven't
played
the DLC.
So,
okay, Gus, what about you? It looks like you've been playing more Midnight Suns. I'm curious what you've been doing since you beat the campaign.
I just started New Game Plus. That was what I was doing on it. And it kind of sucks because although everything that you have in your previous save is unlocked, the stuff that you bought is no longer purchased. So you would have to buy it again with the gloss currency.
What
system.
A dumb name for the currency, by the way.
Yeah,
gloss.
Kind of stupid, I agree. Especially when you have credits and you have gloss. It's like a just and you pick have, one.
And you have essence, which is not a currency, but it's like an XP in addition
kind of,
to XP.
Yeah, which is really kind of dumb, but... I'm trying to think what else other than that is weird about New Game Plus. There was something else. I can't remember
I don't
what
think
it was.
Unpopular. Well, this might be a popular opinion, actually. I don't think any game should have more than one or two currencies.
Yeah, I agree.
If you have to have a paid currency, okay, because you're a free-to-play game or whatever. But if you have more than two, you're losing the plot. Like, it just becomes so overly complex. To, and you're preventing
people from
spending.
They do have a third currency for buying special skins. I can't remember what it's called, but they have a third one that is
and then
your premium currency.
The fine line between materials and currency, right? Like,
yeah, because gloss is what you pay for cosmetics with, like in-game cosmetics. Then there's something else that's like the special premium currency that you use to buy.
Does the game even have skins. Microtransactions?
Yes, not very many though. They're all skins. They're all cosmetic based. And then you have the third one, which is credits, which you use to buy upgrades for the yard, the forge, and the war room.
Yeah.
So those are your three currencies. And then obviously, like you said, you have heroic, skill, and attack essence, which are used to upgrade your abilities. And they're all very hard to come by at the beginning of the game. So it takes a while before you can really actually start upgrading your cards. And then eventually you have too much. And you don't like know what to do with it.
So I will piggyback on you here, yeah, because I played the game. They introduced this last week, a 3-hour trial, and I installed it and I played almost the entire 3 hours. I had like 10 minutes left. Hey, Gus's computer just finished doing Windows updates, everyone. Gus, I had like 10 minutes left in the 3-hour trial, and I stopped because if I started another mission, it would, yeah, be more than 10 minutes and I would get cut off mid-mission. So I got pretty far and, you know, explored the grounds of the, yeah, Abbey, did several story missions. I actually like it a lot more than I thought I would. It definitely makes me feel like it feels like a combination of XCOM, obviously, because they developed it, Gears Tactics in the way that the positioning and stuff works, which is very similar to XCOM. So maybe you could combine those in together. And then like a card based Marvel IP, kind of like Marvel Snap, where you're playing cards based on Marvel heroes and stuff. It's a really great game. I see what you're saying about the graphics, because I think the polygons, like count and geometry, are next gen level.
Yeah.
But all the textures seem really low res.
Yeah, they are.
Like really low poly, simple textures. And the animation work is pretty limited. Like when you, yeah, walk, it's kind of a little stilted.
But yeah, like I said, when you're in the Abbey, you're trying to get around, it's like this it feels like Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, it feels a little rigid.
Yeah.
But it doesn't ruin the experience because the combat is good and the story is good and stuff. So I played the 3 hours and I honestly was tempted to buy it, and the only reason I didn't is I just have enough to play. It's another thing of like I have to save what free time I have for the games I desperately want to play, and I'd like to finish a few games before Jedi Survivor comes out in April. So that's kind of where I'm at. But
for sure, I understand.
I did like it. I do recommend it. Yeah. I think if you like Marvel and you like turn-based, I think you're gonna love it.
Yeah, it's I like trying to figure out like how to like beat the missions in like the most efficient way. It's kind of fun using like the cards that you have
and the environment.
Exactly. I like the getting the free kills. It's kind of fun. So it's like something I can play, and it's like I don't have to spend a whole lot of time like thinking too much about it anymore now that I've played it a bunch. So that's kind of why I like it.
It's kind of sad because Take-Two, in their financial call this last week, they said the game underperformed pretty poorly. And it seems like because it was a strategy game, people didn't get it.
I think a lot of people probably thought it was like a card-based one, strategy too, which like I feel like is even more of a niche crowd than it already is as like a overhead strategy turn-based game.
They also blamed releasing in December.
I do think adding the card system kind of hampered them, but it was a shot to take, and like especially with Marvel Snap being out, like maybe they're like trying to piggyback off of that.
It didn't really need to be cards either. Like Gears Tactics, there's like buttons across the bottom, and they're not actually cards, and it's less intimidating that way because card based makes it feel like a collectible card game, which it isn't.
Yeah, the card plays. It's like playing cards rather than the cards being what you use to fight each other with. It's like.
Take-Two also blamed it coming out in December after the delays, so that did hurt it. But there's a 3-hour trial, so if you're interested, do what I did. Play the 3-hour trial, which I guess it sounds like I'm underselling it because I'm like, I played the 3-hour trial and I'm not going to buy it. But the thing is, if I didn't have games to play, like if I was in Spencer's boat where I was looking for something to play, I would. Especially since right now it's on sale for the Take-Two publisher sale. I believe it's on sale for $20 off for the base edition. So anyway... Gus, anything else you wanted to highlight? It looks like here you started Age of Empires 2 on console.
I played the tutorial mission, and that's really about it. There's not really a whole lot to talk about there. It's Age of Empires.
Yeah, that's about as far as I got on console. And then another time you're segueing perfectly for me is after playing Age of Empires 2 on console last week, this week I was like, you know what? I'm going to play on PC, but I didn't want to play 2 because I played that a long time ago when I was a kid. And I don't know, I wanted a more modern experience. So I played Age of Empires 4 a bunch this week. I actually sat down one night to be like, I'm going to try this and see if I can get into it the way I did when I was younger. And next thing I know, I was looking up and it was like 1 a.m. on a work night. And I'd played, you know, 3-4 hours of it, gotten several achievements. So Age of Empires 4, I got into. I'm not sure that that's kind of just going to be a filler game for me that I play whenever, because it's, you know, those games can be really long. And I don't really play it for the story. I play it for the strategy. I also played a bunch of Hi-Fi Rush. That was yesterday and the day before. I played a bunch of that. after I finished Midnight Suns 3-hour trial, I got back to Hi-Fi Rush. I think I'm in the fourth world. They call them tracks, like a mixtape track. So yeah, I'm not going super fast through that. I wouldn't say I'm super great at the timing my attacks to the music with the combos, because some of the combos get kind of complex. So when you do the more advanced combos with the music, I'm kind of bad at that. So I tend to lean on more of the basic stuff. And the other thing is I went to Halo Infinite and I was like, oh, I'm going to play this. I even invited you guys to play with me, and you guys couldn't. I went to it, played once, and got absolutely destroyed in one match. And I was like, yeah, I don't know that I should play this anymore by myself, because I'm going to get destroyed by the people that play this every day, which happens with any multiplayer game that's been out for more than 6 months. You get all the sweaties are the ones you end up getting paired against. But anyway, that is what I've been up to this week. So let's move on to some news. And it's a weird news week. Nothing big that jumps out, so I got them in whatever order they're in. This first one is, it looks like Ubisoft Plus is finally going to launch on Xbox semi-soon. Some people spotted in the back end of Xbox through the API that they've added iconography for Ubisoft Plus on games that will be included. It looks like 60 games are marked that way so far. They announced this was coming to Xbox like a year ago, so it probably is coming semi-soon. I wonder if we'll hear about anything before E3, but this is not going to be included in Game Pass. It's going to be, I believe it's either $10 or $15 a month, but it gives you access to 60 Ubisoft games. And let me just say this, and then you guys tell me how you feel. I don't think this is worth it for the sole reason that when you buy Xbox Game Pass or PlayStation Plus, new games are added every month to the subscription service. This PlayStation or this Ubisoft subscription service, you only get 2 to 4 Ubisoft games come out in a given year. So you're basically just paying for the back catalog, because unless something new comes out when you're subscribed, you know, a couple times a year, you're just playing the old stuff. And if you are someone like me that has played a lot of Ubisoft games over the years, there's nothing for me to benefit from the subscription. So it seems like maybe it's more of an entry point for people that haven't played a bunch of Ubisoft games, but I've played every Assassin's Creed, every Far Cry, most of the Tom Clancy games. I don't know that there's any value in it for me, and I can't see myself subscribing.
Yeah, that's a good point that you raised, Tim, that just like the scarcity of new games, like just that being a fact of life with something like Ubisoft Plus or EA Play. But the other thing I was thinking of, like EA Play's problem, if you don't have Game Pass and you just were to subscribe to EA Play, is their new releases don't immediately go on there. You have to wait 6 to 12 months for them to actually get on there. Like we're going to talk about in the games, in the new Game Pass games, like Madden 23 is on EA Play this week, February 9th, it was added. So therefore it's on Game Pass Ultimate. Well, that game came out in August, which was 6 months ago or whatever. So, that's a problem that they could avoid with Ubisoft Plus. Like if new releases are on Ubisoft Plus, the service, the day they come out for everybody, then they're already better than EA Play, and are therefore more enticing to somebody that might be interested in trying things out, but doesn't want to pay $75 at this point with tax. So like for example, like Skull and Bones, like I'm never going to buy that game. I'm never going to pay full price for that. I'm just not 0% chance that I would ever do that. But, and that's probably the case for a lot of people, for a variety of reasons, not least to which that it, you know, keeps getting delayed. So who knows if it's even going to be a viable product. But if it's released day one on Ubisoft Plus and you already have Ubisoft Plus, then you can try it. Or you could just get a month of Ubisoft Plus for $10 or $15 and try it, just to try it out. Like if you're like, oh, I like the idea of Skull and Bones, but I don't want to pay full price, so I'll just try Ubisoft Plus, buy a month of that, play around with it for however long you want to, or however long you feel like you need to. Plus a month is a long time. If you got free time, that's plenty of time to beat a game. So I think that really with something like Ubisoft Plus, where it's not going to be getting new games every month, like Game Pass or PlayStation Plus, the secret or the key, really the only thing I feel like you have to avoid doing is not having those games on there day one. Just because like I don't know how else you expect to sell the product, you know, like that's the thing. It's like, unless you've never played Ubisoft games or you haven't played, maybe you played Far Cry 6 and like that was your first Far Cry. Okay. If you're someone like that, or you've only played Assassin's Creed Origins and Odyssey and you want to maybe play the older ones, something like that, I guess. But for me personally, that doesn't really entice me at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's got to be a little bit of both. Like you got to have your day one releases on there. Like you can't be like EA Play and delay things 6 months or more. And you have to, I guess, I mean, that's really the only thing I feel like you have to avoid doing since you don't have new games coming out all the time.
I didn't think of the EA Play angle. I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. So Game Pass, you have day one releases and back catalog games. PlayStation, you have slightly older games. They don't have a ton of day one releases, but they also don't do first party. So you're basically just getting back catalog. EA Play, you get back catalog, 6 months and older generally for games. And Ubisoft Plus, you get day one, but you don't get a huge quantity and you get back catalog. So it's kind of the same problem as the streaming TV services are having right now. Everybody used to have all their stuff on Netflix and Hulu, at least in the United States. It varied by country. And then eventually they started saying, oh, why would we sell this to Netflix? We can just build our own streaming service. And then we ended up with Discovery Plus and Disney Plus and HBO Max.
Become the very thing that we hated.
Yeah, and there's some that have already died. DC Universe and CBS,
Whatever Showtime's independent thing was called. It's got rolled into Paramount Plus this year, or will be getting rolled into Paramount Plus this year.
So now they're realizing that people won't pay to have so many services, and so they're consolidating again. And that, I mean, that is kind of the problem. Like if Ubisoft, EA Play, and a bunch of these were bundled together, it's a much higher value. It's a harder sell. I don't know. I don't see any buzz online about Ubisoft Plus, although I do occasionally see people on PC, because that's where it is right now, that will do it for 1 month to play a new game and then unsubscribe. But if that is the only way people are using it, Ubisoft is going to kill it eventually because that is unsustainable.
What's the most recent Ubisoft release?
Oh, man.
Because I'm looking on the website.
Just
like,
Dance, maybe? I don't know. What have they released? Everything got delayed, didn't it?
Their website stinks, man. I'm on...
Got to go like, Wikipedia, man.
Well, I'm on Ubisoft Plus, and it's like, oh, you want to go to the store? No, I want to see the Ubisoft Plus games list, not your like store
Ubisoft list. Games by release date. There we go. This should take me to Wikipedia. Yep. There we go. Okay. So we're scrolling down here.
I just wanted to see basically like if their most recent released game was on there, if it is Just Dance or whatever it might be. I mean, it looks
it would be The Settlers New Allies, February 17th.
Okay.
That's Windows.
Okay, so it seems like their new releases are on their day one, maybe?
And Valiant Hearts Coming Home. Oh, that's Android and iOS. Let's see what else. Yeah, no, it is day one. I know it is.
Okay.
All Ubisoft games come to Ubisoft.
Well, that's, I mean, you already are in a better spot than EA Play, I would say.
Yeah.
Like you're already
EA Play is like a patient gamer play. It's the people that don't need to play games when they first come out and are happy to save money and play them later. But EA Play also comes with some other perks. You get like bonuses and free to play games and not much, but you get something. And you get trials, I think, of games, right? Oh, yeah. And you can play games early, right? You can play 10 hours of new releases.
That's true.
So you do get a 10 hour trial of new releases.
Yeah. But what's better, a 10 hour trial of a new release or just the new release?
Yeah. I think EA Play is trying to have their cake and eat it too, because then they can get people hooked with the 10 hour trial and still sell them the game for full price. Which is probably the smartest from a business perspective.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Well, we can leave that there. Okay. So number two, Major League Baseball and Sony Santa Monica. What do they call them now? Not Sony Santa Monica. Isn't that? Yeah. That's the studio that makes MLB the Show, right?
That's Sony Santa Monica is who makes God of War.
God of War. You're right. It's why can't I think of the name of the studio? It'll come to me. Anyway, they announced that they are partnering with the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City, Missouri, which is where I'm from.
San Diego Studio.
Sony San Diego. Thank you. They're partnering with the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City, Missouri, and to bring their players to the game through a new mode called Storylines. Now, the players will also be available in some of the other modes, but they're basically going to have like a new story mode kind of thing where you, here, I'll see. The storyline feature of MLB The Show includes a narrative experience for each Negro League legend with short videos about the players mixed with gameplay centered on the important moments of their careers. And so season one will be MLB The Show 23 and will include Satchel Paige, Jackie Robinson, Buck O'Neill, Rube Foster, Hilton Smith, Hank Thompson, John Donaldson, and Martin DeHigo. And the season two will be included in the next year's version of MLB The Show. And they'll have another batch of Negro League legends. So I thought this was really cool because I don't know that we've ever had those characters in, or not characters, those
players,
historical figures is what I would.
Well, Jackie Robinson, he's been in the show before, but you're right.
Yeah, you're right about Jackie Robinson. Also, it's cool for me because the museum has like a mural right by I-70 in downtown Kansas City that I remember seeing all the time. I think I was at the game where the Kansas City Royals retired Jackie Robinson's number.
Yeah,
and they painted it on the outfield fence. I'm pretty sure I was there for that game where they opened up the 42 out on the field.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think it was fairly recent that they retired his number league wide. Let me see.
Yeah, but the
Wikipedia page.
But the Royals specifically, they put a memorial to him in left field, and I want to say the game that they revealed that and retired it as a Royal 42. I'm pretty sure I was at that game. Not on purpose. I just had bought tickets to that game, and when I got there, they had that ceremony. I have that vividly in my head.
I mean, it was 1997 when it was retired league wide, so you very well could have been at that game.
I mean, I could have. That would have made me 97. I would have been 13 or 14.
Yeah.
Although I swear it was when I was slightly older, but actually maybe not. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I was at the game.
That's cool.
So that's cool. I remember very vividly them taking the like curtain off the thing in left field, which it's funny. Cool. Since then, they've redone the stadium. So I wonder if they used the same like 42 or if they just repainted it on a new part of that outfield. Like if they moved that piece or if they made a new one. Because it's not like it was like sacred. It was just his number painted in the outfield. They could have replaced it with another one painted in the outfield. It wasn't like a bronze statue of him or anything. So that's cool. I think it's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm not much into sports games, but if I was, I would definitely check this out because it sounds awesome.
I do think it's a cool little addition to the game in general. I know people kind of complained about this past year's MLB The Show because it was like it just didn't fix anything that people complained about from the year prior. People said that the show 21 was very good, and that's the one I played. Like they were like, this is one of the best ones in a long time. And then 22 was like, eh. Like it's like they just didn't change anything that people had complained about. And then now hopefully they've added some more stuff. Obviously with this is one of them to the game to make it a little bit more fresh.
Speaking of, well, go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say, I feel like in the last 5 years, sports games have done a lot to try and bring in parts of the sport that have not traditionally been included in video games. Like, for example, I believe
the WNBA being in 2K.
I was going to say WNBA is in 2K.
That was probably the biggest one.
But the FIFA also introduced female soccer players and the soccer leagues. And then now the Negro Leagues to MLB The Show. Yeah. So it feels like a lot of parts of the sport that are not traditionally recognized in video games are starting to be acknowledged.
How much of that was a size concern too, with like older technology before we like had larger like hard drives or could contain more in like a game disc.
Yeah, there actually could have been a limiting factor. Yeah. I mean, game disc sizes have limited games in the past.
Yeah, obviously it's not as big of a deal now because of the digital thing, but I mean, there are some games that are getting like. It's like too big, like COD.
I think it's also a factor of how do you grow, especially bringing in the female leagues, is how do you grow your audience for your games, right?
Yeah, like, definitely part of it is definitely the political climate, too.
Want to be more inclusive.
Yeah,
but
well, they
I
want
think
to be
it's
inclusive because it's good publicity is really about it. And then, of course, you add these other things.
I think it's more... I think the biggest factor is that if you add MLB player or WNBA players, then you can sell the game to WNBA fans.
I mean, like I said, you look good and it
potentially sell more.
It doesn't detract from the game at all.
Yeah. Because
it's like, it's not like you're taking the NBA players out. Like,
yeah.
They're still there. It's not WNBA 2K, whatever. It's
net
NBA
positive.
Plus
I think, yeah.
This.
Great. So. And hopefully you gain some fans that buy it because they're WNBA fans.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
They buy it,
like I said, it's a win-win to not include them or to include them, excuse me. Like there's like you look good politically and you look good on sales.
I was speaking of MLB The Show features being added to the game. I remember one of the things that we were all excited for when MLB The Show 21 was first announced to be coming to Xbox was the new feature that year of being able to build your own stadium. And like
the, is that in the last two games?
Yeah,
or
is
that
been,
only in
yeah,
the,
it's,
okay.
It's been in all of them since, I assume it'll be in 23, but it was in 22. I remember being very excited about that feature and talking about it. I think Gus maybe was too. And maybe Tim, you expressed some interest in it as well, but
yeah, because I wanted to see Victory Field.
Talk about a feature that I used for approximately 5 minutes, got extremely overwhelmed, and was like, yeah, this just isn't for me. Yeah. I'm not able to compute this, even though I was very excited for it.
I scrolled through and looked at other stuff that people have built, like
true.
Field of Dreams. Oh, that one actually came to the game officially, but like there were all kinds of cool things that people built in there that I thought were really cool.
I just sent a Reddit link that has the Victory Field, which is the Indianapolis Indians.
Oh yeah,
which
that's cool.
Is like it kind of looks like it, but also not really.
Kind of, yeah. I mean
you got to work within the constraints.
It's like you can see what is obviously
tried.
Supposed to be the Marriott.
Tried. They tried. That's funny.
They made a good faith effort, is what
yeah,
I'll say.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean that I feel like that's just going to get better as the game goes on. It is kind of cool because there were some stadiums that they tried to make like similar to MLB. Or AAA stadiums, but Spencer is right. I think I got into it and I was like, holy crap, this is like way more in depth than I was expecting. Plus between it having a lot going on but also not being able to like make a perfect recreation is also like, ah, dang it. So you can do your best, but you can only
communities
so
spring up around that stuff. Like, have you guys seen that Forza has been giving out awards for their community created content? And do you guys know the creator Don Juansong that does like tons of stuff in Forza?
Yeah.
So I follow him in the game for like his content, and he makes tons of custom tracks and stuff. And he recently won one, and I saw they retweeted him on Twitter. That they sent him his prize, which was the Golden Gas Tank Award. And then they sent him like a t-shirt and a game and signed and some other stuff. And it's just incredible. Like he probably makes his entire career off just making content in Forza and putting it on YouTube. But he also is just like an amazing creator. Like he makes all these build tunes for cars, these custom tracks. And there's probably people like that for MLB The Show that just make custom stadiums and like crazy stuff.
Yeah. Just like a quick aside, I don't want to dive too deep into this, but like the modding.
That should be the name of this show. Quick aside.
The modding community has like, for certain games, is like helps keep games alive long past their actual probably death date.
Speaking of mods, remember how The Witcher 3 next gen, they were going to be bringing user created mods to Xbox? Yeah. Well, apparently this week or in the last update, they accidentally brought some not safe for work mods to console and they are like scrambling to rectify that. But it was funny. I haven't played that in probably a month, I would say, or 5 weeks. And they hadn't added mods yet, but there's a huge update in the last week or two. So that must have been when they added the user created mods.
Yeah. Empire at War is one game. Empire at War and Star Wars Battlefront 2 from like 2005, I feel like, are two games that have like existed long past their like expiration date simply because of the modding community. Skyrim,
the classic example.
They like thrive off of mods because and that's part of why they added them to the game. Like either between the definitive edition or whatever and the just regular Fallout 4 added mods, because it's like all it does is just bring people to keep playing your game, and it's free. It's literally free. All you have to do is put support in it for the game, and then you just let people literally make their own stuff for free, and you're just like, profit.
Well, you do have to monitor it a little bit for like copyright stuff you have to take down legally. But okay, right. This is going to be a quick aside on your quick aside. I Googled quick aside podcast and I found a quick aside podcast by Adam Roberts on Apple. And he only has one episode, which reminded me this week I had a conversation with my brother and we were talking about our show. And he said he recently saw this guy talking about how many podcasts fail and when they fail and stuff like that. And he sent me the thing and it apparently like 95% of podcasts don't make it past episode 3. And 99% of those or something don't make it past episode 21. And so basically we were by making it past episode 21 of a podcast, you're in the less than 1% of podcasts. So here we are, 234.
Still screaming into the void though.
We're top 1%. Top 1%. I mean, that's what all internet content is, right? Screaming into the void. The thing that sucks about podcasts
anymore.
Podcasts don't have a comment section underneath. Like, not that that's good or bad, because we probably have a bunch of trollers too, and we do get some spam from bots and stuff, but you can put comments on Podbean, our host service, on multiformpodcast.com. So I guess if you really wanted to troll us, you could there. Be my guest. Moving on. This next one's all me, so I'll keep it short. Apex Legends is getting ready to launch their new season on Valentine's Day, February 14th. And this is going to probably be enough to get me back into the game because I haven't played it in a while. My friends stopped playing it, so I kind of haven't played it. This was one of my biggest games in the last three or four years. So they're doing a complete rework of the class system with 5 new classes, reworks for a bunch of the legends. They're adding a new weapon. This will be the first season where they're not adding a new legend, a new character. The arenas mode is going away. And the best one is they're adding a new team deathmatch mode. So they're adding a way to play it that doesn't require you to invest in a battle royale, like a loot and take forever thing. You can still play the game. So that's kind of what arenas was, but it had a different flow to it. That didn't succeed. So they're sunsetting that and they're just adding normal team deathmatch, which I definitely will check out. Oh, also the new weapon that's being added is called the Nemesis, and it's a 4-round burst assault rifle, and it's an energy assault rifle. I see you guys trolling me in the chat. Just stop it. The audience can't hear you and neither can I. Okay, moving on, since no one cares about Apex Legends but me.
I'm happy for you, Tim. I actually know a lot of people that play that game on my friends list and in real life. So it's one of the
best shooters. Maybe the best. It has its own problems too, but Gus, what?
No, I'm just ready to talk about this next thing.
Oh, okay. So I'm not sure if you guys have heard this. The next story is The Division 2. So recently they had to delay an update and they put out a tweet explaining why they had to delay the update. And I've never heard of this before, but it's very interesting. I'm going to read the tweet or the comment or the text they put in the tweet. They put an image with a statement in the tweet. It says, "Last week we shared news that the new season would be delayed due to localization issues. This past Saturday, in the process of creating the update, which would resolve that issue, we encountered an issue that brought down the build generation system for Division 2. As a result, we cannot update the game until this system has been rebuilt." So they can't update the game because they broke the thing that makes builds of the game. And the hilarious part is, in the meantime, while they rebuild the build generation system, they can't even update the game to like cycle like old events and activities so that like you can keep doing the old stuff on the like seasonal rotation, because they can't do anything to change the game until they completely rebuild the build generator. Gus, you said you had something to say. Knock yourself out.
Well, I thought it was funny that like they like broke the game basically like on their own on accident. And I was actually, I've kind of been wanting to get back into the Division 2 for some odd reason. I guess now I'm going to have to wait until whenever it is they fix it. Right.
I mean, it's playable. They can't add any content.
So this only affects them. It doesn't really affect like us, like the player.
Yeah, they can't do the new season and they can't cycle old season. So like the seasonal stuff that they had in the game that was like, you know, it would change every quarter or whatever. I don't know how long their seasons are. That stuff will all just stop until they can update the game. But you can still play all the normal like stuff. so you can play, you know, content that was already in the game.
Tim, we shouldn't install it. We should play it because that
gosh,
that was like the one of the sole reasons why I bought it was because we could play it together, and then we never did.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of bought Breakpoint to play with you, and then it never materialized.
Pretty sure I also bought the Division 2 because wasn't it on sale for like $2.99 at one point?
We should all play
$1.99.
Oh yeah, it was like $2 or $3.
All right, we're playing it.
Okay,
we're going to install it and play it.
Yeah. Because Spencer's ever available. We're never all three available at the same time. That's so rare.
Maybe we'll have minutes one day.
Because Gus is going to bed at like 8 p.m. right now.
Yeah,
because I'm usually doing stuff then, and then I go to bed at 10, but then Tim is up until 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, my day doesn't even start till 9 o'clock. Number 5. Game Pass editions for the first half of February. Madden NFL 23, February 9th. SD Gundam Battle Alliance, February 9th. Mountain Blade 2, Bannerlord, February 14th, Valentine's Day. Oh, this one's interesting. City Skylines Remastered, February 15th. So it's interesting just because they're doing like a next-gen update for City Skylines, which I never would have expected. That game seems like it does not need graphical improvements because it's such kind of a simple concept. But the next-gen version is free for anyone that owns the game, or it's going to be in Game Pass. So if you already own City Skylines, you're getting the remastered version. And finally, Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition, February 16th. So Madden, City Skylines, and Shadow Warrior 3 are probably your standouts there. And then leaving February 15th, I've heard of next to none of these. Besiege, Crossfire X, which we knew was leaving, Infernax, Recompile, which I have heard of that one, Skull the Hero Slayer, and The Last Kids on Earth. I love that games that are leaving 99% of the time are the games I never have heard of and would have never even checked out.
So they're taking Crossfire X off of Game Pass this week, but did we say last week it's May when it goes dead? Like it goes offline?
Yeah, I think that's when you can't play it anymore. But yeah, it's leaving Game Pass. I think they're also removing the ability to buy the game at some point, even though
people aren't buying it. Because like if it doesn't make sense, like you should be able to still play it.
Yeah,
because you paid for it, unless they're going to issue refunds or something, which I think it's they're just taking it off sale, and any multiplayer support is ending in May or something. Like we talked about that last week, but yeah,
because the other two games that were ending last week are free to play, and then I remember at least one of them said they were going to remove it from sale, so you couldn't like buy a game that you won't be able to play in the near future.
Yeah, and speaking of Madden, I said this week that I was going to play it, but I said this week after we recorded just in our chat when it was announced that it was coming to Game Pass, I was like, yep, nope, I will not be downloading this or playing it. I mean, I played the trial back last year, so I have played it, but I was like, nope, I do not have the time to just waste sitting there playing mindless franchise mode. I have too many other things to do and too many other games, even just on Game Pass, not counting Hogwarts, to play. So we'll see.
That's
this
why
summer.
I kind of stopped playing multiplayer game. Games.
Well, yeah,
is because yeah. You feel like you multiplayer games, you're always doing the same thing, just another match after another match. Yeah. And I feel like I'm making more like progress and having more gratification of my entertainment when I'm playing story based stuff where I'm making progress.
Yeah.
Although that's not always true because sometimes you just want it mindless fun, but not the majority of the time.
I agree.
The last thing I want to say, that's the end of the news. In the pop culture corner here at the end, I just want to say that so this week, The Last of Us had their episode early on Friday because of the Super Bowl. They didn't want to run a new episode during the Super Bowl.
I heard it was good.
I think it's the best episode yet. It's the first appearance of the bloater and all kinds of good plot development. So yeah, it is very, very good.
I'm still an episode behind. I didn't watch last Sunday's yet.
Last Sunday's was pretty good, but it was what you'd call like a transitional episode, like moving people from place to place, setting up things, whereas a lot of stuff happens.
After Bill and Frank, or whatever their names were.
Yeah, because it takes us back to the present day and driving along in my S10.
Yep.
Hopefully not high on cocaine.
I just realized that I said that was the end of the news and there was one more story, but it's super minor. It's that they announced a new controller, Stellar Shift. It's purple. It's another one of those ones that like shifts with the color if you kind of show it in different light. $70.
It's kind of like the smoky, really cool. Milky looking handles.
I like the galaxy, the nebula.
The coolest thing about this controller is it does the thing that the 20th anniversary controller did, that when you hook it up to your console, it unlocks a dynamic theme that is the purple nebula like background.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wait, what? You didn't know what?
The 20th anniversary theme was free. I think that's just on there.
No, you have to have that controller connected to your console.
How do I do that? Do I just go to settings and look at it?
No, yeah, just go, like, while that controller is active on your console, go to your dynamic themes, and there'll be a 20th anniversary background available.
I don't know if I want to switch from Cosmo and his puppies from Guardians of the Galaxy game. That's what I have right now. It's Cosmo and his puppies.
But then if you ever change it off of, so like I used the 20th anniversary edition. Did I borrow yours, Spencer? No, I got my own. And I changed it off. And now I can't put it back on, but I don't know what I did with my 20th anniversary controller.
My 20th anniversary controller, what a like a traumatic experience that was getting that for me.
Oh yeah, I feel like going to steal it from your neighbors.
Like 3 times on here, I got sent to Guam.
That's still amazing. Like that's like the craziest. And then came back like story.
Yeah,
I wish I knew which episode that was that we talked.
It's almost as crazy as like I bought a coffee percolator, and a long time ago, and it went to Ohio and back to Virginia 3 different times. They shipped it to Ohio, then back to Virginia, then back to Ohio, then back to Virginia, then back to Ohio, and then back to Virginia again, and then they sent it to Indy.
It'd be really funny if it was like stuck at the bottom of the truck or something.
Like I didn't get it for like 3 weeks. And by the time I was trying to use it, like I was already back from what I was doing where I would have used it. And guess what? I haven't touched it since. And I did want to use it though at some point.
Oh, also last week we went on our really long aside about the Fast and the Furious franchise. The Fast X trailer came out a couple days ago and ahead of the Super Bowl. And it seems like it's going to be a direct sequel to Fast Five. So I'm pretty excited.
Did they say, will it be in the Super Bowl? Are they going to play it during the Super Bowl at some point?
I do not know. Although I do know several movies are getting big trailers.
I know a lot of stuff came out early, which is kind of silly, kind of annoying. I didn't watch any of them. I watched the Breaking Bad Doritos one, or not Doritos, but whatever that chip is. And that was kind of funny. But that's the one.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to talk about Super Bowl ads next week, especially if PlayStation or Xbox or Nintendo run any. But I watched, so at work, I'm in marketing, so somebody, our VP, sent out a link to a bunch of the ads that are already out, and I watched, I don't know, 20 of them. I'd say a third of them were like bringing back old TV shows or movies in commercial form. Like, that is definitely the trend this year, because you had Breaking Bad, you had The Office, you had Clueless, you had... not Miami Vice. There was another one. And then there were a couple others that I'm not even thinking of. That is definitely the trend this year. So I wonder if Xbox will have another Game Pass commercial. I don't expect it. I kind of expect a PlayStation VR or a PlayStation something trailer. But I am pretty excited that we're going to get a trailer for whatever it is I just said that is confirmed. Oh, The Flash. Because I'm really curious how like Michael Keaton... situation will be in that trailer.
I saw the poster. It was kind of cool. Had the Batman logo silhouette above it.
I do love that. That's the Batwing from the 80s movie. But what I don't like about it is it kind of looks fan-made. Like, it looks like something a fan would make. Like, with the neon on his costume and the bat symbol above it. But I am excited about it nonetheless, because I like Michael Keaton's Batman and I like The Flash. And it has Supergirl in it, which I'm a huge Superman family fan. So. Yeah, and it's an alt-world version of Supergirl, so it's not probably not going to be Kara Danvers, but it might be, or Kara Zor-El, or Kara, all the other names for her. So, very interesting. Anyway, that's all this week. We'll wrap up there, and this is a little bit shorter one ahead of the Super Bowl. We're also recording a little bit early, so there's less news this week. Looking forward to talking about whatever ads come in the Super Bowl next week, and Spencer, hopefully by then you'll have played more Hogwarts Legacy, so you can give us some anecdotes and
don't look at the message I just put in the group chat.
Why does it say?
Well, I just said that I'll be out of town next week, so we'll have to figure out recording.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll record again early next week. When are you going out of town?
Saturday.
Oh yeah, we could do it on Friday. No problem.
We'll see.
We'll talk about it. Okay. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I am Spencer Rain, and you can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
And I'm Gus Harden. And if you have any questions for me, you can tweet at the show on Twitter at MultiformPod.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.